27. We're looking at what we called four-part disharmony. We are reading in this 27th chapter of Genesis about Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau, and all the ways that they tried to do things their way instead of doing things God's way. Isaac made that mistake. Rebekah made that mistake. Esau made that mistake. Jacob made that mistake. And I think from time to time, probably all of us make that mistake. Abraham and Sarah thought God needed help, so they decided how to help God out. They were wrong, and they shouldn't have. So when I say most of us have probably done something to that effect, it's in light of the fact that Abraham and Sarah did, and I don't think we're much better than Abraham and Sarah as far as what we're capable of. And in this 27th chapter, Isaac has sent Esau to go and fetch him a venison to make him a savory meat dish to come back and he would bless him. That was his plot and that was his plan, and Esau went along with it. Rebekah hears of this, overhears this, and comes up with a counterplot and plan and sends Jacob out to fetch two good goats for her to fix a savory meat dish like Isaac enjoyed. And she would fix it, and Jacob would take it before his father and get the blessing, sidestepping Esau from getting it. And everything goes according to plan, according to purpose, through verse number 29, where we ended last week. Jacob indeed gets the blessing. And I haven't lately taken the time. I know there's a difference, but I haven't taken the time recently. But Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of pottage. There seems to be some difference in the birthright and the blessing that is spoken of in our text. So we'll try to get some time to look at the difference if we're able to, and if not, we would encourage you to discern for yourself in your studies what the difference was. But Jacob gets the blessing. He gets the blessing, cutting off Esau and Isaac's planning. And as he gets the blessing and is leaving with the blessing, we read in verse number 30 through 33 of Esau's coming, just barely missing, just crossing paths, and how upset he was that his father had blessed Jacob instead of him. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, And Jacob was yet scarce gone out. He had just barely left from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he says, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." He's got the blessing. It's not going to be changed. It's not going to be reversed. And as we think about these four doing things their own way instead of God's way, along those same lines, verse number 31 says, "And Esau, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father." And the thought or the lesson that the Lord impressed upon my heart was that these two brothers, or Esau and his mother, Rebecca, had different recipes for this savory meat. One was going to be prepared with venison, one was going to be prepared with two good kid goats. Rebecca was going to prepare the one, and Esau prepares the other. Again, along those same lines, we have a tendency like these four to serve God our own way instead of serving God his way. And many times we all have our own little recipes for what's going to be pleasing to God. We called it loophole theology, I think, last week. And that's a good terminology. God gives us his word. God makes his word plain. God makes his promises according to his word. God says, "Do this, this, and this, and if thou do this, this, and this, I will bless thee." And not only do we come up with our own way of serving the Lord, but many times we have our own recipe. Instead of following his recipe, we have our own recipe. And our own recipe always ends up in a spoiled dish. Always ends up in a spoiled dish. The book of Proverbs, a couple verses. I want to notice Proverbs 16 first. I think we read verse 7 last week, so we might as well read it again. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." For tonight I want us to notice verse number 9 of Proverbs 16. "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." People plan, but God's in control. People plan and people have their way and people have their recipes of success and how to serve the Lord. We may devise our way, but the Lord controls, the Lord directs our steps. And no matter what we plan, and no matter what we purpose, and no matter what recipes we have of our own choosing, in the end, we end up doing exactly what God directed us to do. He's sovereign. Don't believe, don't claim to believe in a sovereign God. Don't claim to believe in the sovereignty of God if you don't believe that. If God is sovereign, no matter what we plan and purpose and what we come up with to do, thinking it'll be acceptable to God, in the end, we end up doing exactly what God wants us to do. It's got to be that way if God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all the details and courses and directions of our life. In chapter 19 of Proverbs, while we're here, verse 20 and 21. Hear counsel. He's calling us tonight to hear counsel. Receive instruction. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. That's across the board, applicable to everybody here tonight. Hear counsel. You're never going to go wrong by getting advice, by getting counsel of many, especially those who you can trust and who are reliable and who are godly people and those who live according to the book. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Verse 21 for tonight. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Devices there means thoughts, ideas. In a man's heart, in a man's mind, there comes many thoughts and many ideas, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That shall stand. We go back now to Genesis 27. As Esau returns and the deception is found out, we learned that it's always that way. The deception, whatever it is, who we're involved in it with, any deception, lies, anything that we participate in doing things our way or in our coming up with our own recipe to please God is always going to come out in time. As we've noticed recently, we'll just comment on it and move on. The Word of God tells us to be sure your sin will find you out. Just a matter of time. And again, that amount of time is God's business. The Bible says, because judgment against sin is not carried out speedily, we have a tendency to think God's forgotten, or we have a tendency to think we got away with something. But folks, God is not mocked. We're going to sow exactly according to that which we reap. And how long it takes the deception to be realized is God's business, but be sure our sins are going to find us out. Nobody gets away with anything at all. The consequences for these people doing their own thing, their own recipe, following their own recipes, their ideas and their thoughts, the consequences of these, I think I said this last week and covered it last week, are irreversible. Our sins, our disobediences, our doing our own things, our following our own recipes for success instead of following the way of the Lord and serving the Lord His way, might bring the mercy of God upon us and spell some relief for what God could do to us for our sins. But we'll never fully avoid the consequences of our sin. The scars that sin causes are permanent. And young people, that's what your parents would like you to get a hold of. That's what your parents would like you to get a grasp on. They want you to learn from their mistakes. They want you to learn from their scars. They don't want you to have your own scars. Because you can't sin and you can't live like you want to and you can't do things your way and avoid God's way and you can't have your own recipe for how you're going to live contrary to God's recipe for how He would have us to live and have that not cause some scars. Constant reminders of mistakes made. Yeah. Old folks are party poopers. That's a good scriptural term. There's times when I say things, and I know when I say it, that's going to raise some eyebrows. That's one of those things. But that's okay. Sometimes our eyebrows need raised. They've been fixed, motionless, for too long. You read there in that 33rd verse, Isaac trembled very exceedingly. What have I done? What have I been tricked into? Who are you? You say you're Esau? No, Esau's already been here. You can't be Esau. Well, if you're not Esau, well, that makes everything null and void. No. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him." Where'd he go? Where'd this guy go? He got away too quick. Who was he? It doesn't matter. I have blessed him. And yea, he shall be blessed. This was much like the birthright, whatever the differences are. It couldn't be reversed. Once that birthright was sold for that bowl of pottage, it couldn't be undone. Once that blessing was given at the hand of Isaac to Jacob, it couldn't be reversed and then given back into the hands of Esau. I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. The consequences of Isaac's actions are permanent. And we read in verse number 34, "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. Bless me too." Doesn't work that way, Esau. There weren't two blessings for me to give out. And again, that teaches us that bitterness, weeping and wailing and crying, and no matter how bad we want it, doesn't avail in any way once the die is cast. See, these things are written for our learning. These things are written for our learning. Will we learn anything? Will we learn that all of our doing things our way and all of our own recipes, instead of following God's way and His recipes, all of these things bring consequences that cannot be reversed? Will we learn these things? Will we make the same mistakes, or will we learn from the mistakes of these four individuals? And not only do we do these things, but we all know somebody who has followed the example of these four in one way or another. Will we learn from them? Parents have parents. Many of them are passed on, but many are still yet alive. And by thinking about our family members, sometimes we can remember family members who made like mistakes. And all of our crying and all of our weeping and all of our bitter bewailing didn't change a thing once the die is cast. Verse 36, "And he said," Isaac says in verse 35, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." Well, that makes everything null and void. No, it doesn't. Doesn't change a thing. "Jacob came with subtlety. He was deceived into a course of action by his mother, Rebekah." Rebekah knew how to push the buttons on Isaac. She pushed those and she encouraged Jacob to push those buttons. "And thy brother Jacob came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." But it's still been taken away. This is nothing to tinker with, nothing to play with. "And he," Esau, verse 36 now, "and he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" I don't know if he's saying this to his dad or not. I don't know if he's saying, "Boy, you and Mom sure named this guy right. He's a sneaky, deceptive little character. He lived up to his name." But we pointed out last week that Rebekah had her own deceptive little ways, and maybe that's part of where Jacob got that subtlety and that sneakiness. He might have inherited it rightly from his mother. "Is not he rightly named Jacob? He has supplanted me these two times. He has taken away my birthright." Esau refuses to acknowledge his own part in that. See, it seems to me, if he could go hunting, and take some kind of a creature that would have been referred to as venison, whether that was deer or not, in these days, we're not 100% sure on, but we'll just say it was. If he could go and hunt and hunt and hunt and take these animals, bring these animals back, and he himself prepare the savory meat for his father, couldn't he have fixed something to eat for himself back when he came in from the field so hungry and Jacob says, give me your birthright and I'll fix you a bowl of pottage? Couldn't he have fixed something for himself? I think he could have. But at that moment, he wasn't willing to wait, wouldn't delay himself. But he's not willing to acknowledge his part in Jacob's tricking him. It says, does not he bear the name Jacob properly? And I think the question that begs to be asked of you and of me, of us ourselves, and not of us concerning others, but it begs to ask, as we search ourselves, how are we known? How are we known? By whatever title or whatever name might be placed over us, what does that reveal about us? Did he not get named properly? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord. Not what he wants to hear. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? What's left? I have made him a wealthy man, powerful man. He's lord over you now, just like God told Rebekah a couple chapters back would be the case. What can I do unto you now? I've given the blessing to thy brother. Don't have anything else to give otherwise. And we read in verse 37 all the way really to verse 40. There's always going to be this strife between Jacob and Esau. We will read about their coming maybe to grips with this and coming to be able to treat each other maybe as brethren before we're done with the storyline. But there's always going to be this strife, this constant strife between Jacob and Esau because of this situation. And in verse number 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning of my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. I don't think this is too strong a word. I think the Word of God appropriately tells us Esau hated his brother Jacob. And he's determined one day he's going to kill his brother. And here again, we get into this part of the storyline where Isaac thinks he's going to die. In some way or another, he's got it in his head. He's going to die. He wants to get the savory dish. And he promises Esau a blessing. If he hurries, he can give it to him before he dies. in verse number 41 talks about Esau's acknowledging that his father may be facing death, but we know according to a couple chapters from here that Isaac actually lived to be another 40 years past this point. And some explain it this way, that he may very well have been near death, but because of his sneakiness and his own problems and his own disobedience in this 27th chapter, God put him on the shelf for 40 years where he just had to live with what he had done. He had to live with seeing his two sons not be able to get along. He just had to live with the consequences of his own mistakes. Sometimes it's harder for God to let us live than it is for God to take us home. So for another 40 years, Isaac is going to live. But he says, when my father passes and his days of mourning are past, I'm going to kill Jacob. I'm going to kill Jacob. Verse 42 through 45, wonder if Rebecca has had any revelations, if she's turned over any new leaves, or if she has learned from all her mistakes and corrected all of those. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebecca. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise thee, thou, to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Again, Rebecca not remembering any part of she had in it. Then I will send for thee, and I will fetch thee from thence. Why should I be depraved also of you both in one day? Why should I lose both of you sons at the same time? So, go back to the home of my family. You remember Laban? Remember when we were back there a few chapters past when Abraham sent his faithful servant to get Isaac a wife? He drove, he wishes he could have drove. He walked those 500 plus miles to the place of Abraham's raising, and he was to find a bride for her, and Rebecca came back, and now Rebecca is sending Jacob back to her homeland, also to her brother. I still remember those messages when we considered the fact, and Rebecca had a brother. Rebecca had a brother. What a significant statement that was back when we were coming through that portion of Scripture. Go back to my homeland and wait until your brother cools down. She overhears again, or rumors get to her, that Esau wants to kill Jacob. She wants to protect Jacob. Again, take things into her own hands, not trust God, not seek God, not ask God for wisdom. But she sends her son away to the land of her brother. And I'm thinking, I don't think she sees Jacob ever again alive. So she does all this maneuvering to keep Jacob alive so she doesn't lose him. But ultimately, by doing all this maneuvering, she loses him. And as he wheels and deals for who he wants to marry and is tricked by Laban and ends up married to the wrong woman, then having to work for those 7 years for the right woman, what a mess came of all their planning and all their scheming. But she's still plotting. Go there until thy brother's anger turn from thee, and forget that which thou hast done unto him. And they will cross paths again. Isaac sinned, and God put him on the shelf for over 40 years. Rebekah sinned, and God took her from Jacob, whom she would never see again. Esau sinned and never regained his birthright, and as far as we know, never became a believer in God. Lost forever to that idolatry and that wickedness of the land of Canaan. Jacob sinned by lying and deceit. And during the next 20 years of his life, he would be cheated out and swindled by his uncle Laban. So he's going to reap exactly what he has sown, as is true for all of us. We'll quit there tonight. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.